Check us out, people!
We got a real crime stopper today because he can identify the real crime. We got a real helper today.
It's all about the divine creative process. The divine creative process from involution to evolution.
They gave us the lie.
Let's look and see what prayer is. That's fine. As they used to say in the old times when we were in the fundamentalist, God wanted it that way. But, you know, I haven't had a lot of good things to say about him either, so, you know. Maybe he ought to get his act straight now. What is prayer? Let's look and see what prayer is as in the terms of what we understand. Prayer is earth communicating with heaven. Okay. And that's, I guess, as close to say that's what happens as possible. Now, the problem with this is not easy. In fact, it might be a little more descriptive if we went like this. Okay, that's probably going to be a little better to perceive. Earth communicating to heaven. And we have a situation where many, you know, people see that their prayers do not get answered. You know, that for the most part, unless there's a coincidence or something, that's what happens. The prayers do not get answered. And the reason that the prayers do not get answered is quite simple. The lower is not capable of touching the higher. It's just impossible. You see what I like to do? I don't believe there's such a thing as a God somewhere that works outside of the laws that are created by God. If there is such a thing as prayer, then there must be a way for the earth to touch heaven, in whatever way you want to call it. Well, it is extremely difficult because the two are on a completely different plane, and the point is, since the two levels are not in contact, they are separated. So, you know, what do you do? Most people stand and stand up and utter something. Well, you're uttering something down here. If you're zooming in, you're uttering something down here, and you're opening your mouth and saying something, and, you know, it's just banging off the ceiling. Where is it going? I mean, you know, it's not going anywhere because the two levels are not scientific. It's like looking at channel 2 on the TV. It's like if you're looking at channel 2, but you wish you were looking at channel 7. Well, you can pray, you can wish, but no matter what you do, unless you scientifically make contact with channel 7, you're not going to see it. Channel 7 is up here, channel 2 is down here. You're watching channel 2 and saying, I want to see channel 7. Oh God, let me see channel 7. Holy Mary, Mother of God, let me see channel 7. I'll say the rosary, I'll lay hands on the television, I'll do all of these things. But you know what? You never see channel 7 until you do what? Until you adjust the frequency and get there and make contact with it. Then you see channel 7.
They gave us the lie.
That's the way it is. And what you're doing there is you're messing around with something called ether. And if you read the Bhagavad Gita, you will find that God dwells right there in ether. And if you understand about the chakras and kundalini, you would say that this is quite an appropriate comparison. We've got to move out of channel 2, which is the duality of our natures, and move up to channel 7. So there's no way. There is no way to get. If we want to say channels, heaven is on channel 7 and earth is on channel 2, then in order to get to heaven, you've got to switch frequency. Okay? That's it. And that is, you have to understand that you are capable of getting from here to there, but it's through your effort. You have to do it. And this is the real problem with religion and Christianity. It places all of the expectation on
forces outside. Jesus is going to do it for you. The saints are going to do it for you. God's going to do it for you. So you just, we were talking about this at lunch today, and we were talking about the Simpson thing and all of these things. And basically, in religion, religion is a prime culprit in this, because religion does not allow people to look at themselves for what's wrong in here. They never, ever turn and say, what's going on in here? They just are told to pray, don't think about it, and pray about it, and the thing rots and gets more fermenting, and all the trouble starts. So they say, well, Jesus will take care of it for you. The Holy Ghost will take care of it for you. And all of the lunacy is piling up in here until a tragedy occurs. And so that's not right. You have to start looking at yourself and understanding yourself and understanding the way these things work. Everything is scientific. We have a man who has a scientific background. You cannot do anything on this earth without plugging into the laws of science. And that's the way it is. And it doesn't change because you want to call it religion. There is no such word as religion. We made that up. There is no such word as spirit. We made that up. These are all the frequencies, the decibels, and all of these things that are governed by the laws of, I guess, physics. Basically, that's the easiest way to put it. But now, let's take a look at this. Here we are, we're the earth. We want to get to heaven. And so what are the instructions? Well, I don't have it. Now, we've covered the Bhagavad Gita of Krishna, we've covered Buddhism, we've covered in some way the Sufi Muslims, we've covered, but you know, the basic, since we're a Western oriented people, is the Bible. That's the document that we really look at closest. And of course, our guru, and I have no problem in describing him as that, is Yeshua, who you know more affectionately from the Western version as Jesus. You know, that's the name that he was given by your Western groups who can't deal with Jewish names. But anyhow, if we want to use the real name, so our guru is Yeshua. Now, he gives us specific instructions as to what must we do. How can we get from here to there? What do we have to understand in this problem? You know, if we're standing in Forked River, most of the people here that go to church believe, and for instance, in this particular town, that they're standing in Forked River, that they've got to say prayers that go to some planet. Go to some, out into the cosmos somewhere. Their prayers have got to be heard on Pluto or wherever it is. Their prayers have got to reach some far distant planet in order to be heard. I mean, but you know, let's look at this from a scientific and a logical, realistic standpoint. And if we plug into Yeshua, the Christ, it's very easy because it's very simple. Let's see what his instructions are. First of all, let's identify, okay, the earth and heaven. Let's go to page 853 in those little Bibles, which will take you to Luke chapter 17. Many of you who stay with me have heard this before. But anyhow, Luke chapter 17, and let's look at the words of Jesus Christ. And he says in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, neither shall they say, lo, it's here, or lo, it's there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That is a tremendous statement, because now Yeshua the Christ has specifically identified the location of this thing. So this is in you. So now we can take it out of a geographic thing. We're not looking any longer at Forked River as opposed to some planet somewhere. We're looking and saying, okay, here I am. All right, there's my, you know, it's inside of me. We can take, you know, we take it out of the fact of a cosmic location way off somewhere in space, because Yeshua the Christ has just said, it's in you. Wow, that makes it then.
They gave us the lie. Check this out, people.
We're not looking any longer at Forked River as opposed to some planet somewhere. We're looking and saying, okay, here I am. All right, there's my, you know, it's inside of me. We can take, you know, we take it out of the fact of a cosmic location way off somewhere in space, because Yeshua the Christ has just said, it's in you. Wow, that makes it then a lot more attractive. So then if we want to pray, where do we have to, what will be our target? Our target is within our very own mind, because there is a heaven that is up, there is an earth that is down, and in order to reach from the earth to heaven, in other words, in order to get a prayer through, we have to first realize something if we're going to trust Yeshua the Christ, and that is, heaven is in you. That's good. That's a start. Okay. That's rule one. We understand that. We believe him. He's our guru. Heaven is in us. Now, what do we do about it? So now, because we still need to get the prayer through to heaven, we now know that it's not up in space somewhere. It's not outside of us. It's inside of us. What do we do? Take a look at page 782 in the little Bibles. You look at Matthew, and you're at chapter 6 and verse 33. And therefore, Jesus Christ says, seek first, the kingdom of God. The first...
They gave us the lie. Check this out, people!
Scientific approach, okay? let's look at it this way. Let's say, for instance, we go to the airport. There's a little airport over here in Bayville. Let's say we walk on the airport because we want to fly a plane. I don't know what your experiences are in here. I know myself, if I walk into that airport, I can get into the plane and that's the end of it. There is no way that I'm gonna be able to get from here to there. How come? Because I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. And when you talk about prayer, it's the same thing as getting into a plane. You want to raise yourself from the earth up into the sky, up into heaven. You want to go from this stage of your consciousness to that stage of your consciousness. But 99 9/10% of the people don't know how to do it. It's as if you sat in an airplane, what would you do? I don't know. And here, so they sit in here, we're gonna sit in here and we're gonna pray and we're gonna get to heaven, but they don't know how to do it. So, you know, if you don't know, you can't go. And that's why preaching is so necessary as far as the teaching is concerned, to show people how to do this and what's happening as you do that, okay? We always thought prayer was easy because all you ever did was say, oh God, if you give me this, I'll never do this scuzzy thing again, you know? And that's basically what was the prayer. And then after you got what you wanted and you did the scuzzy thing again, you came back and said, this time I really mean it. If you're this guy, I really never will do this again. But then you went ahead and you got that and then you forgot about it. And you just went, because, you know, it's who are you talking to other than, you know, cuckoos. I mean, who's listening to this kind of stuff? But, you know, this is what we've been raised on. And, you know, I guess that's why everything is really so screwed up. Direct contact, however, is not easy. And let's just go back to it. The only way that you're going to get prayer or that you're going to get to heaven is by raising your own level. You've got to do it, okay? Because if the lower level and the higher level remain far apart, well, that's the end of it. There's no way you're going to get through. There are parables, there are symbolic stories in the Bible, and many of them describe what you have to do. And this is what it is. And the word is used, and this is what is told in the scriptures. If you want to get from here to there, you've got to be persistent. You've got to be persistent. You know what a lot of people like to do? It's like going out to Oklahoma to drill for oil. They want to put the drill in, turn it 2 times, and strike oil. If they don't, they walk out. I didn't get anything out of that. How deep do you have to dig into the earth to hit oil? Deep! I mean, you got to dig pretty deep to hit water in most places, but this is it. So what do you have to do if you want to hit oil? There are people that are so persistent, they drill for years and years, and they never hit it. And then one day, boom, the whole thing blows and you got geysers or gushers. Why? Because they were persistent. Now, the point is, I could say, well, you know, you have to be persistent, but what right do I have to say? What right do I have to say that if you're persistent, you know, there's a possibility that you can get from here to there? Well, Yeshua the Christ, who is my teacher too, tells us this. Go, I didn't mark the page number. Somebody tell me what page Luke 11 is on, okay? So you can find that. Luke chapter 11. What page is that on? 846. Okay, if you look at 846, I want to look at Luke chapter 11. And here is a little parable given to you by Yeshua the Christ. And for those of you who are just jumping on, but I'm tired of using this false name made up by, I love Greek dancers and everything, but I mean, you know, to make a Greek name out of this is just silly, and his name is Yeshua, so why not? Why don't we just stop the nonsense and use his correct name? Luke chapter 11, and this is a little story he gives, and he says in verse 5, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, friend, loan me 3 loaves? I mean, it's a way of saying you're knocking on the door and say, hey, I need 3 loaves of bread. That number 3, however, is not there for no purpose at all. That means something good is going to happen, okay? And then you say, a friend of mine is on a long journey and I don't have any bread for him, so how about it? But from within the house in verse 7, you hear, look, don't trouble me. The door's shut. Me and my kids are in bed. I can't get up now. There's nothing I can do about it. But then Jesus says, but I say to you, though he won't get up and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him all that he needs. You know what importunity means? Persistence. Persistence. There's a story. Here's Jesus saying, okay, you ask for this, you want this, you don't get this, you quit. But this guy didn't quit. This guy was persistent. He kept knocking. Hey! Get up! No, I'm not going to get up. Get the heck up! I want the... Will you shut up? I can't get my... Listen, just one... Oh, for God's sakes! And he comes down. Here, take the bread. Take the whole dog. And that's what he's saying. It's just a parabolic way of saying you've got to be persistent. And that means in your meditation. You do it. And you do it again. And you do it again and again and again. It's like knocking on the door and trying to get this guy up. So there is... something that you've got to do.
They gave us the lie. Check this out, people.
You can't strike oil by letting the drill spin around one time. You got to be persistent. And as Jehoshua the Christ said in this story, that guy wasn't going to get up. In other words, he's saying you're not going to see a change in your life because you came and tried to have a meditation and you didn't get it. You've got to be persistent, okay? So persistent is doing over and over and over. In other words, let's get out of the thing of some God sitting somewhere in your head. This, look at this thing as an electrical thing. This is an electrical thing. And just take a look, excuse me. Just take a look, for instance, if we're trying to get the prayer and it's an electrical thing and we move an energy up there. And we got to come back again and move it, and maybe you get a little higher up there. And then the electrical energy moves a little higher. We're trying to get a circuit up there. This is what's happening. You're trying to raise your energy. You're trying to get the energy stronger. You're trying to get the electrical circuits. Forget religion. Forget spirit. Forget God. You're trying to get an electrical circuit to touch another part of the brain. Okay, and that part of the brain is the part that contains all of these beautiful things which are called sitting at the right hand and all of the things of nature and so forth that we're going to turn on. But you've got to be persistent, because if you're going to come in and you're going to meditate and you generate a little energy and it gets up like that, you can say, well, I didn't get anything. I won't. Then this is going to dissipate. You got to start all over again. It's a repetitive process over and over and over again. Otherwise, if it's anything but that, then we have to think there's a man sitting in here who won't give you what you want until you keep screaming just to aggravate you. It has nothing to do with that. It's talking about a scientific principle of building on that energy, building that energy up stronger and stronger until it finally hits the point, hits the contact, voila, you've made contact, you've completed the circuit. And that's what it is. See, and so it's simply a scientific principle. Okay. And it's being conveyed to you through stories in the Bible. Just like we're doing with Abraham and all of these things in Genesis. They're scientific principles about the operation of the brain and the electric circuitry of the brain being conveyed in stories. It requires constant electrical effort before contact is made. You know, for instance, I mean, anything you do, you know, if it's worthwhile, it takes time. You set a plan in action, and then whether you're building something, whether you're planning something, or whether you're doing something, it takes time before you can make contact. There's another story that points this out, which I think is pretty good, and I, once again, didn't put the thing down, but you're on Luke 11. Go to Luke 18. Luke chapter 18, whatever page that's on, you'll find it, okay? And if you look at Luke chapter 18, here's Jehoshua the Christ telling another story. What is it? Okay, Luke chapter 18. Look at verse 1. He spoke a parable that meant always to pray and not to faint. In other words, keep the effort going. Don't quit, you know. And in this way, we know we're talking about meditation. Okay, and he says, there wasn't a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. In other words, the guy, he didn't care about anybody. And there was a widow, and she came to him and saying, avenge me of mine adversary, help me out. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, I'm not interested in God, and I really don't care about people, but because this widow troubles me, I'll avenge her, I'll take it, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. And then Jesus, Jehoshua says, and shall God not avenge his own elect which cry day and night to him, though he bear long to him? In other words, what's being said here in the story about the judge, he could care less. How did she get him to give her what she wanted? She didn't let up on him. She kept coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. And this is what you're doing. This is what you do in this room. You come back and back. So there's a very, very important part that we've heard from Jehoshua the Christ. Says, be persistent. Keep doing it. Don't stop. I mean, who else you gonna get to tell you how to do this? I mean, you get, there is nobody else that can explain it to you. You have explained to you here, and this is the key. You want to get from the earth, you want to get to heaven, okay? What is lower is not in contact with what is higher. God is here in the higher part of you, you're here in the lower part of you, and the two are separate. The God part of you and the earth part of you, or the carnal part of you, are separate, see? So, what do you have to do? Let's say, for instance, let's take another story. So let's say, for instance, you're in a big department store, or you're in an office building in New York City, and the person you want to see is on the seventh floor. Well, are you going to stand down at the first floor and wish that you were there? Oh God, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I claim that I'm on the seventh floor. No, you're not. You're on the first floor. And you know what? You're going to stay on the first floor until what do? You either get on the stairs and climb up, or you get on the elevator. But what happens? You know what? Religion doesn't want you to be able to do anything. Christianity doesn't want you to be able to do anything. Jesus said you've got to do it. They say no, stay on the first floor and just claim that you're on the seventh floor. Okay, I'm on the seventh floor. And you were supposed to get your loan and get your $5,000. The guy never shows up. I didn't get it. Well, because you never left the first floor. But you claimed it anyhow. See? And so you find out that what have you got to do? You got to climb the stairs. You got to get in an elevator. You got to do it. You want to get to the seventh heaven. You want to get to the third heaven. You want to get to that place within you. Then you've got to do it. And you know what's amazing to me? Is you can teach this stuff. You can show these people what Jesus said. It doesn't make any difference. Sing the songs, claim this, Jesus is going to do this, and the heck with it. Just forget about yourself, you're nothing but a... It's like Al Vero was talking today about the evangelist or the preacher on television. The earth is no good, you tree huggers and flower sniffers and all this stuff. And it's nothing, God hates it, he's going to blow it up and burn it down. And you know, this is what... This is what, you know, here you got a whole book about creation and all of this, God's most magnificent planet that we know of in the universe, and they, religious people, are the prime ones to say it's a dump. Because they, where do they want to go? They want to go to another planet. We talk reincarnation. We say, it's true, there is eternal life right here. Oh no, I'm going to another planet. It's like the guy on the second floor. How are you going to get there? How are you going to get there? We realize, obviously, that, you know, you're not going to get there. You're going to stay right here. Jesus or Jehoshua talks of another aspect that can interfere with the lower touching the higher. And when we have vanity, when we have arrogance, we have physical desire, it stops communication. There is a problem that I have a lot of people in the New Age movement. And it's a lot of it is this, you know, it's... Hey, if you wave smoke, or you sit on a rock, or you put a feather in your ear, or you stand on your head in Arizona or something, you're going to fly up? No, you're not. You're not. There's scientific principles. And smoke and feathers and all that stuff aren't going to do it. You have to plug into the same thing. The emotions must be purified. Because the emotions are what holds you down here. I think Rose said that this morning. The emotions are what holds you down here, and you've got to purify them. So how does Jesus say to purify the emotions? Take no thought. It's exactly what happened this morning when the king of Sodom said to Abram, listen, give me the people, you take all of the material. He said, I don't want a threat. In other words, I don't want a thought. I won't take a thought. So there is a need to totally separate, ouch, there is a need to totally separate from the, for those of you, I have a little sensitive spot there, and on my hand, you know, I'm talking about, and and I hit it, that's all right. But there is a need to totally separate from all religious feelings and traditions. That's the most important part. The most important thing in reaching from here to there, if one thing I could say all of this night, is get rid of religion. If you can get religion out of your mind, out of your brain, you'll make it. But as long as you're going to dwell in the superstitious insanity, it's a connection between superstitious and stupid. Superstitious, then you know, what do you want to do? All right, what can you? Let's take a look at, you're at Luke 18. Go to verse 10. And Jesus was talking about two guys go up to pray. One's a Pharisee and the other is a publican. And the Pharisee said, and they said, "Boy, God, I thank you. I'm not as these other men are, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or either as this scuzzy guy standing next to me." That's what it says in the book. Now, here's the publican sitting there, and this other guy says, "Good God, am I glad that I'm pure and saved instead of this wretch next to me? Look at this guy. What's he doing in here? You know, praying doesn't even have sneakers, you know. Get rid of him. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of, look at that, I give tithes of all that I possess." Right? But the other guy standing far off wouldn't lift up so much of his eyes, but he smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me." I'll tell you, Jehoshua the Christ said, "This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted." How do you humble yourself? You do not have to lay out in the dirt, or you do not have to pour garbage on your head in order to humble yourself. You humble yourself when you separate from thought. You simply say to yourself, "Self, it is not me. Self, it is not the mind. Self, it is not my ego. I am giving that up, and I am opening myself to the Christ. I am opening myself to God." The key phrase in that little story is that one that exalts himself shall be humbled. In other words, when you try to raise yourself up to heaven, you're going to be lowered to earth. And that's why a lot of, whether it be in mainline religion or Christianity or the New Age movement, I see a lot of that, and it bothers me, of people with all kinds of gimmicks and all kinds of techniques. I mean, you took up the New Age Journal, which has done us a lot of good, but I mean, you see advertisements, you can get special glasses with earphones you put on, and it'll take you on a one-way flight to heaven and all this bizarre stuff, you know. Well, it's not going to work. There's only one way you can do this. There's only one way to fly an airplane. You got to get up to a certain speed and then it goes. And there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's the way that's been defined in the ancient text. And that's through meditation, a Christ-centered meditation, a God, if you would, centered meditation within yourself, not with all of these gimmicks and all of these this lunacy, because it's just, I'll tell you quite frankly, of what I see, whether it be a New Age or the other, it's just a way for people to make a buck. And that's all it is. People making a buck on other people. And this is the beautiful part about this. This doesn't cost 10 cents. It doesn't cost you a penny. All it does is require you to be obedient to Jehoshua the Christ and control yourself in a meditative state. That's all that you're expected to do. See? So you've got to feel this nothingness in yourself to break the attachment from the earth. And that's what's important to do. Jesus totally closes down on the power and the need for public prayer. It's an interesting thing. Many in the circles of Christianity today are campaigning all over the country to get prayer into public schools. They want prayer in public schools. And they want people to be able to pray in public. Do you know that is 100% contrary to the instructions of Jehoshua the Christ? Absolutely contrary. Everything that this wonderful voice of God told us to do, this religion has said, don't do it. Let me show you if Jehoshua the Christ agrees that we should have prayer in public schools. Go to page 781. And in page 781, this is his description. You're in Matthew chapter 6. And if you look in verse 5, he says, "And when you pray," don't be like a hypocrite. Don't be like somebody who wants to stand in a school hall and show how religious they are. "I love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets," and you could add in the public schools, "that they may be seen of men." Don't be like that. Do you see what he says? Because they've got their reward. And what is their reward? Their own ego. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Now look, and yet they do not and will not ever turn themselves and say, we'll do what he says. Well, we do what he says. You know, it's a funny thing. This one church that's considered the outlaw church is, I think, the only one that obeys Jehoshua the Christ. We'll do exactly what he says. And that doesn't mean you build a closet in your house or go into your shoe closet or anything like that. That means you go into yourself, and there in the secret of your own mind, you offer yourself up to that which is the God who dwells within you, and that God who dwells within you will answer you in secret, and then it will manifest to you openly. But how can you justify religious groups saying, get prayer back in public schools, we want to be able to pray, when the leader of the pack said, that's not the way I want you to pray. I want you to pray in secret. Just think about that. Is there anything that he said that they are in agreement to? Hardly. Notice it. The Father is in secret. It's total mystical consciousness as taught by Christ. Entering in your chamber means entering within yourself. And I want you to see something, those of you who are here. It's a very mystical thing. That's an ancient Eastern statement for entering within yourself and closing down the thoughts of the mind. Enter the closet and close the door. Not curiously, it is contained in the very same chapter as what else? Matthew 6:22. Look down at that. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, your whole body shall be filled with light. There's a point where Jehoshua the Christ talks about the single eye in the same chapter that he talks about entering the closet and close the door. And what else does he talk about in the very same chapter? Go to Matthew 6:25. Right where you are, take no thought for your life. 6:27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? A cubit's 18 inches, which is not. Why take thought for raiment? And all of this business. So here in that same chapter, Jehoshua the Christ says, take no thought, practice the single eye, and pray in secret. And practicing the single eye and taking no thought is praying in secret through meditation. That's the instruction of the one that they place on their bumper stickers. I love Jesus. You don't love Jesus because you don't do a doggone thing the man said. You refute and repudiate everything he said to do. And in fact, not only do you refute and repudiate what the man said to do, you turn around and call those people who do obey him and do what he says to do cultists and all kinds of evil names. So those are the instructions as how to transmit from the lower to the higher, how you get from earth to heaven. And who did I quote through the entire time? I did not quote the New Age Journal. I did not quote Carl Jung. I did not quote Buddha or Krishna. I quoted Jehoshua the Christ. Okay. Who, you know, if you just tuned in, he has an alias that he's known in Athens by as Jesus. But I mean, In the Holy Land, or whatever you want to call that mess, he was known as Jehoshua. So, what you're talking about then, let's put it in its proper way. What you are talking about then is known in other circles as telepathy. Is that how you spell it? You know how to spell it. Telepathy. Mental telepathy. They'll love that one down at the old parish hall. But nonetheless, that's the way it is. Mental telepathy. Getting that thing plugged in and moving it. And what do you ask for? Okay, let's get this all off of here. I'm glad I washed the board off. It got worse. This is it. We wrap this up. Are we okay back there? Okay, this is it. We wrap this up. What do we ask for? That's very important. That's a big question, and I want to make that. And I know I sit and I have a tremendous amount of respect for the man who sits in the front row here, because he's a brilliant man spiritually. He's a brilliant man of science. He teaches me a lot of things. And I know that as a scientist, when he conducted a scientific project, what he was asking for was the truth. What is true? Science is not prejudiced. Science does not say, I'm going to conduct this experiment and I want it to come out like this. Science says, I'm going to conduct this experiment and what comes out will come out, and that'll be the truth. If you were watching recently in the O.J. Simpson case, there was the story of, I forget what they call these people, not pathologists, they're forensic experts, and there was a fellow from China who was hired to go to California, and he was to check to see if he could determine a particular cut on Mr. Simpson as to whether it came from a cut in a glass or was in a fight. And he went back to Connecticut from China, and he spoke in Chinese, and he said, this type of science, the answer has to come true. I cannot be influenced by those who want it to be from the fight. I cannot be influenced by those who want it to be from the cut glass. I can't tell. I cannot tell. So, in other words, this is exactly what he was saying. You have no business asking for anything. You simply have to ask for the truth. What is right for you? What is true for you? What should be? And many times you say, well, I want it this way, and it is not right. I could, and all of the things you can recount in your life, and probably in most instances, we were talking about this at lunch, a lot of stumbling blocks that have made it possible for you to reach this point where you have an opportunity now to really, to fly on the wings of nirvana. But that's what you ask for. You ask for the truth. You don't try to experiment and make this come out a certain way. Because that's what most people would like to do, you know. And we see it all the time. You see it all the time on television. And, you know, they say that this person's going to get healed, and the guy jumps out of a wheelchair, and all of this kind of business, because they've got to make this come out instead of simply saying, "What is the truth? What is the truth?" See.